Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 26, verse 1. Psalm 26, verse 1.
Psalm 26, verse 1 reads this way. Of course, I want to start off by saying it's a psalm of David. And he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." Then drop down to verse 11. "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to gather together and to assemble together as your church, as your people, as your redeemed, Lord. And we thank you for that. And I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, hear the word you have for us. And then, Lord, that you would fill us by your Holy Spirit, that we might receive the word that you have for us. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers. May we understand the truths that you give to us, that we might walk in them and not just hear them alone. And, Lord, we need you to give us the wisdom and understanding that is needed for that. Bless your word. Bless us, Lord, your people. And may you be honored and glorified to use us for your glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight, can you guess? Mine Integrity. Mine Integrity. And so tonight we want to, just for a brief moment, consider four truths about true integrity. Not the integrity of the world, but God's integrity. And the four truths are where true integrity comes from, where that comes from, what true integrity stands against, what true integrity is committed to, and the strength of true integrity. But before we go there, we want to understand that the word integrity deals with completeness, fullness, and also innocence, right? But when you consider this, it's also the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principle for your fortitude and for your outlook in life, your uprightness. And the Bible tells us that a man is known by his integrity, right? By the truth, by where he stands. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. We're going to act upon how we believe and how we think. We can say one thing, but what we believe is going to be manifested in our lives. Another idea of this word integrity, for example, there are people that today are in the business of forging swords and axes and different things like that. And my son got wrapped up in watching these guys, and I couldn't tell you the name of the YouTube channel, but they would have competitions, and whoever would have the sword that looked the nicest, handled the nicest, and there were professional swordsmen. He said, "Dad, you got to watch this." And they would take these swords, and they would hit different objects with them, and you can see some of the contestants there, they're kind of like saying, "I'm hoping this is not going to break. I'm hoping it's not going to fall apart." And some of them, they did. They cracked and they broke and different things like that because they weren't forged properly, and they gave their reasons as to why. But needless to say, the integrity of that sword fell apart. And that's not what we want. And by the way, I want you to consider something. Would you like to know that the plane you are getting ready to fly in will not be compromised in the midst of a storm? Wouldn't you like the idea to know that plane has good integrity, good structure, that it can withstand a storm, a good storm, one that you don't even want to be in, but just it should have that kind of integrity? How about this? Would you also like to know that your pilot has good integrity and will not compromise the rules of his company no matter what happens to his or her life? He's going to abide by the rules, right? He's not going to have a rough day and stop off somewhere and do something he shouldn't that's going to cause him to not be in his right mind. Amen? So you want that pilot to have good integrity. Well, listen, the child of God has even more cause to have God's integrity, that we might walk upright, because he has redeemed us. He's given to us something that the lost world doesn't know anything about. So tonight, just for a few moments, we want to consider this idea of good integrity, where true integrity comes from. Look at verse 1. He says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." And he reveals this. "I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, because he trusted in the Lord, I shall not slide." His integrity is based upon the Lord's faithfulness. your integrity and my integrity can also be based upon the Lord's faithfulness, because God is faithful. God says, I hold you in my hand. God says, allow me to work on you, because everything I'm bringing into your life is for my honor and my glory and your good. God is doing a work. Now, we need God to show us this work so that we can believe it, because sometimes the battle is long, sometimes the battle is hard, and we can get our eyes off of the Lord and onto the battle, and that's not where God wants us to stand. So here is David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who is telling us about the importance of integrity. And look at verse 2. He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. That's putting it to the test, isn't it? Prove me. When you say prove me, you're saying test me. And so he says, prove me, try my reins and my heart. That's what God is in the business of doing, that he might help us to see that God wants us to see that we will not trust our own heart, but we will trust the heart of God that he's given to us by the Holy Spirit. That we will trust the power of God that he's given to us because of his great grace. So he says, try me and try my heart. Verse 3, for loving kindness is before mine eyes. Who's he looking at? Where's love come from? Why, the Lord. And so he's sitting there loving. He says, loving kindness is before mine eyes. Listen to this. And I have walked in what? Thy truth. Thy truth. Well, that's your truth. That's what you hear today. I've got my truth. Oh, no, listen, there's only one truth, and that's God's truth, and that's where David chose to walk in, and that's where true integrity, morality, righteousness, and peace, and love, and joy come from. You will not find that anywhere else. Now, the devil would like for you to believe that so that you can spend all your time going here and going there and making sure that you don't put your hands on the Word of God where faith comes from. He wants to make sure that we get so busy that we are too tired to seek God and to pray, that we're just worn out. We're just slap worn out. You ever heard that? Just, I don't know what that means, but slap worn out, right? Somebody must have knocked somebody out. I don't know. But anyway, that's not where, that the world has nothing to offer to us, but God has everything. Now, what is it that true integrity stands against? Look at verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Did you hear that? That's what true integrity stands against. Make sure, listen, that we don't sit with vain persons. Listen, do you know you and I have been given the Holy Spirit, and you can even, before you got saved, you could even still understand the spirit of mankind. And by the way, listen, whatever is in the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So it doesn't take some people very long to say a few words and you know they're full of themselves, because every other word is I and every other word is me and, oh, you know, and this and everything is like that. And so likewise, we can also tell what we're filled with. What is it that we're filled with? It ought to be the Lord. It ought to be his integrity. And so he says, listen, I want you to know that I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Verse 5, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, this is not saying that David wasn't cordial and respectful and kind to those people, but he did not befriend them in a sense of, hey, let's get together and let's go do something. No, listen, you're not walking upright. Listen, as a testimony to the Lord, I'll have nothing to do with that. And by the way, because it does affect us, and it won't ever affect us the right way. That's why God says don't make leagues and don't enter into marriages with unbelievers. They're never going to take you in the right direction. Verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency. This is what true integrity is committed to. Verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency. That means I'm not going to do the wrong thing. That means, listen, before I enter into it, you know when something is wrong. Don't get near it put on your running shoes like Joseph did, and when evil tempts you, run away from it. Don't flirt with it. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Verse 7 says this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. This is what true integrity is committed to. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved thy habitation. Listen, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. He's committed to it. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. Where's the honor of God dwell? In his house. Have you ever stopped to think about why that's so important today and why the honor of the Lord is here? Because all the redeemed are here. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. What will it take for us to lose our integrity or to compromise our integrity? That means you weaken it, right? That means when you prove it, if it's not made of the right metal, it's not going to withhold. It's not going to stand. And by the way, the right metal is not our fortitude, but the love of God in us. It's not our commitment to God. It's God's promise to you and me. And as you seek to walk, Lord, in the promises of God, he is faithful to help us with everything that we stand in need of. But listen, what will it take for us to compromise the righteousness of God and our integrity? So, for example, what will it take? Somebody getting upset with you? Okay, that's where I draw the line. Now I'm going to roll up my sleeves and give them what for. I'm not going to turn the other cheek. I'm not going to love my enemies because I don't like that. Well, that just tells you who's on the throne, and it's not God. And I can speak for myself, all right? I'm going to tell you, it's wrong. It's always wrong and will always be wrong. And I was wrong every time I got upset because I did not see it as coming from the Lord. But I don't have to walk that way. I can trust the Lord and allow him to have his will. See, then we understand, then we enter into the joy of the Lord by allowing him to crucify the flesh and to walk and to allow his spirit to walk in and through us. So where's the line where we will compromise the integrity of God? Well, David just said here, he said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. What will it take us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Well, I don't feel like it tonight or today. I don't feel all that excited about it. I'm sure the Lord wasn't very, other than the idea of having the ability to pay for our sins, I don't think the cross was a very palatable idea. I mean, I think he did say, you know, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was all kind of said right together. But what will it take for us to compromise? I used to have, you know, it's the craziest thing. I used to have people come when I moved from North Miami Beach, Florida to Auburndale, Florida. I was right between Tampa and Orlando. I used to have friends come visit me over the weekend thinking I was going to spend time with them on Sunday. I would be glad to. And I wasn't even called to preach. I wasn't even called to preach at that time. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I just thought the Lord's house was really important. And in fact, listen, I will tell you, I had somebody that I worked with profess to be a Christian, witness to me, and I heard the preacher say from the word of God that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together and that we should be in the house of God with the people of God because God dwells in that place and he builds his church through the word of God that we ought to always be there. And so you know what? Wednesday night was pretty important for me to be there. And listen, I will tell you, it was all the grace of God. I was excited. I still am excited about the Word of God. But I drove 45 minutes one way, each way, for 3.5 years to church. Amen. Because the Word of God was being preached. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just telling you, I got home sometimes just enough time. Maybe I didn't even get home. I just went right to church because I was working from Tampa and the church was in Plant City. And so I had friends that would come and maybe come on a Friday night. I'd let them spend the night. And we would do some stuff together, go out to a restaurant or whatever. I had a dirt bike at that time, and my friend that would come had a dirt bike. He brought another friend that had a dirt bike. And amazing, we didn't kill ourselves. But anyway, so come Sunday, I invited them Saturday night. Hey, I'm going to church. You guys can come with me. Amen. Oh, here's what they said. You think the devil's going to let that one slide? Oh, listen, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. I said, I'm going this one. I'm not missing this one. You can come with me. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. It was. It was Super Bowl. I don't even remember who was playing. But I will tell you, I can't tell you too. I don't even know if I know the last year's Super Bowl. And I'm not saying it's wrong to know it. But hey, listen, I know where I'm going to be on Sunday. I know where I'm going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so, unless I am providentially hindered, I understand that. All right, if we're sick, we can't help that. And so anyway, I'm leaving for church. 45 minutes one way. I get about 5 minutes up the road. And remember, I left my Bible at home. They were in my apartment. I drove back, and they thought I came back to stay with them. They said, oh, we thought you'd come back. And I said, no, I just forgot my Bible. See ya. I'm sorry to say, listen. And by the way, my friend that visited me picked me up from the airport this last time when I went to go see my dad. And so I'm still friends with him, but my God is still more important than anything else. And so, God, listen, where does our integrity? You will be surprised. Listen, if people know you will compromise your integrity concerning the house of God, they'll make sure they'll pop in on you every Sunday or Wednesday night and say, oh, well, let's just visit. You don't really need to go. Yeah, why not? I go to church every Wednesday. What kind of message is that? Yeah. Wait a minute. Where's our God? Is he not all important? Hey, and then we wonder why the church is anemic. It has no power. The church, listen, God's not changed. He still has power. So the problem has never been with the Lord. The problem is with God's people. They're missing out on the power of God. If we're not careful, it becomes ritual. It becomes commitment, but no power. We need to seek the Lord in such a way that we have his power in our lives, not by our might, but by his might. We need to understand, God, what is it that you're trying to do in my life? And by the way, listen, this is where you just get the word, but where you get the experiences out there in the world. Then now what are you going to do? Are you going to walk in the integrity of the Lord, or are we going to miss that? All right, so watch this. Ready? Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I didn't say that. David did, through the Holy Spirit. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. Then he says this, the last thought here, and this is the strength of true integrity. In verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. I'm not going to compromise. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. You know what he's saying? I'm going to walk in your truth. Didn't he say that earlier? It's your truth, Lord. I'm going to walk in thy truth. And Lord, keep me from going to the right hand or to the left hand. Isn't that what he's saying right there? Redeem me and be merciful unto me. For what? That I might be faithful to you, God. My foot standeth, the last verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Isn't that amazing? My place, you ever stand in an uneven place? You don't have balance, do you? In an uneven place. The world is a very uneven place. But in the sanctuary of God, amongst the congregation of God's people, it's a level ground, and the opportunity to hear from the Lord and to worship God is there. That's where we get the truth. And now listen, we need to receive the truth. It's one thing to hear the truth. It's another thing to receive it and say, God, that's where my integrity needs to be, in your truth, in your word. I need to walk, not just be a hearer of the word. Lord, show me what it means to be a doer and point me to, listen, it's an amazing thing. Your life and my life are different, and yet they're the same, are they not? They're different. Different things happen in our lives, but God, listen, you ever stop to think about this? Nicodemus, you must be born again. The woman at the well, a wellspring of water. Both of them got saved. But one needed the being born again. The other one, same spirit, same power of God. The other one needed to understand about the living water. All these people were given different things, yet the same salvation. And so likewise in your life and mine, it is different experiences, but the same Spirit of God, that He might humble us. That's what He's wanting to do, and fulfill His will, not ours. Not what we think, but what He wants to do. And here's the crazy thing. I need God to show me His will. You know why? I don't know it. I don't know it for today. I don't know it for the rest of the day. So, Lord, I want to be submissive and know how much of everything that comes into my life passes first through the hand of God. How much of everything in my life passes first through the hand of God? Everything. Can I trust the Lord? Can we trust Him? Listen, when we're bent out of shape, mark it down, we've lost our integrity. We're not walking in the truth. And so right there, we ought to stop. And we can only stop if God shows it to us. Lord, I'm not trusting You, am I? I'm not trusting You in that. And I'm not perfect. I want you to know that I'm not perfect. But I do want to acknowledge God in my life and His will. And so tonight, God says, I want you to walk, God says, in His truth, and that's your integrity. Don't compromise it. Don't allow it to be turned to the right or turned to the left. Seek God's truth. The world doesn't have the answers, but the Lord does, the Creator, the author of life. And that's where peace and joy come from. Even in the midst of a storm, Brother George? Yeah, even in the midst of a storm. Because if not, as the disciples said, to whom shall we go? Would you stand as we dismiss for prayer and prepare for prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truths that You reveal to us. Lord, help us to call upon You to fulfill them in our lives. May we realize, Lord, You desire to use us for Your honor and glory. What a privilege that we can glorify the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the God of heaven. And that's Your choice vehicle that You desire to use for Your honor and glory. I don't understand that either. I thank You for it. I pray that You would bless each and every one of us that are here, those who aren't able to be here. And may You do a great work with Northwood Baptist Church, all Your churches, and all Your missionaries and their ministries, and ours here as well. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.